Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I didn't think you were going to be here today, Brother Phil. For some reason, I thought you were going to be gone. That's what I kept thinking. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to have you home. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for your mercies in our life, dear God. We ask for you to be with us, Lord, now at this point of the service. May you anoint us and guide us through your word. I pray for those that are not able to be here today. God, you know where they are. Pray you be with them, Lord. Keep your hand upon them. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read from 2 Samuel chapter 22, again at verse 1. Going to be continuing on, Brother Todd, with He is My Refuge. Amen. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower, my refuge, my savior, thou savest me from violence." Then if you can turn with me to Psalms 27 and 5. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Amen. You may be seated. We had spoke on this a couple of Sundays ago. We said that the only safe place there is in Christ Jesus. And that if you're not in there, you need to press in until you get in there. We said that this refuge was a refuge that you were baptized into. Baptized into water baptism, but also baptized in with the Holy Spirit. And it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that puts you in there. The baptism of water just is for the remission of sin, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you in Christ. And once you're in that refuge, why, you don't have to worry no more. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the news, no matter what's going on in the nation, no matter what's going on in the government, why, you don't have to worry anymore because you're in a refuge. You're in Christ. Amen. I'm glad I'm hid in that refuge this morning. We said that a rock represented revelation. And that David was speaking here and said, God is our rock. God is our rock when he's revealed to us, Brother Branham said. Then that becomes a rock. And once you're on the rock, why, Brother Branham said, you can let the pressure off. No worries. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 37. 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So in the time of trouble, he's our strength. Anytime we've got anything going on in our life, when it's hitting us, and friends, look, we're human. We're flesh. We're weak. I don't care how many times you sit in church. I don't care how many tapes you play a week. It doesn't matter. You're human, and you've got weaknesses. And Satan studies you, and he knows those weaknesses. And Brother Branham says you to keep those weaknesses guarded by the word. Now, how do you do that? The same way Jesus did when he was weak in his flesh and when he was weak with hunger, when the devil said, turn these stones into bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he used the word. When the devil comes against you, just use the word. That's what you do. Well, what are you going to do? It looks like you ain't got no work. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that provideth all of my needs. Amen. It's when we get to thinking that we're the one that provides our needs, that's when we're in trouble. We need to realize that it's Jehovah Jireh that provides all our needs. He's the one that's there. Anything we've got because he allowed us to have it. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says there's angels in the building, ministering spirits. And he said they stand in the by your pews, and they stand on the platform, and they stand out on the floor. And he said they're messengers sent from the presence of God. And he said, may the angels that spoke to Paul in a time of trouble, they're there to speak to you this morning. They're there to minister to you. Now, you won't hear them out loud, but Brother Ram says that sometimes when a call is given to raise your hand or whatever, and you feel that nudge, he said, that's an angel by you urging you. Amen. So they're here tonight for all, or this morning, for all that's in trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're getting prepared, friends. There's people being prepared for the great judgment coming on. I'm glad that our preparation isn't on that side of the judgment bar, but we're being prepared to set up on this side of the judgment bar. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, know ye not, the saints shall judge even the angels. Hallelujah. The Lord is our refuge, Brother Branham said, our strength in the time of trouble. And the redemptive name Shammah, the Lord is present. Jehovah Jireh, he will provide, the provider. The provider is present. You get what I mean? He's the Lord's provided sacrifice, then he's got to be the Lord present in the time when help's needed. Hallelujah. Now, he said if he's here tonight to save somebody from sin, then he's got to be present tonight to fill the rest with of the redemptive names. He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah, our provided sacrifice, our healer, our banner, our peace, our shepherd, our righteousness. And he's present. He's got to be all that right now. Hallelujah. He's present in the time of trouble. Brother Branham talks about, many of you I know remember Brother Branham talking about the time when he went up and he had his wife and his baby up in the cabin, and he went out hunting, and the fog settled in and he got lost out in the woods. And he didn't want to admit to himself at first that he was lost, because, you know, he had been a guide, he had been a ranger, and he, you know, he talks about that on his mother's side, it was half Indian and all this, you know. And he said, you know, he could tell, which he never got lost, and he didn't want to admit he was lost. But he said in the back of his mind, it kept saying, you're lost. And he kept walking, and he thought, well, I'm not lost. And he'd walk this way thinking it was north, and he'd run up against the hill. And then he would say, well, I'm going the wrong way. So he turned head back the other way, and he said, and he would run into something else and say, well, that wasn't here before. And then he would turn a different direction, and then he realized he didn't know north, south, east, and west from one from the other. He said, I must be walking in a circle. And he would walk again this way and run right back into the same hill he had left. And he said, something just kept telling him that the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And he said, I thought, well, I'm getting frantic. And he said, then something would say, the Lord is our refuge and a help, a very present help in the time of trouble. He said it kept getting louder. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He said, I kept moving. And it said, the Lord is our refuge and strength. And I realized it was Jehovah Shammah that was talking to me. It was the God that was present. He was in trouble. He was lost. But there was somebody present there with him that knew his directions. And Brother Branham said he realized it was God talking to him, and then he got down off his high horse and got down on his knees and put his hat down and knelt on his hat, and he said, Lord, I'm lost. I don't know which way's what, and I need your help. I'm in trouble, and you said you'd be present to help me. And he said, then he got up and he just raised his hands in the air and started praising the Lord. And he just kept walking, couldn't see, it was getting dark now, and the fog had settled in, and he just kept walking with his hands in the air, praising the Lord. And he thought, you know, there's a telephone wire that comes down from the ranger station down the hill. If I can find that wire, I can follow it down the hill. And he said he just kept walking with his hands in the air, praising God. After a while, his arms began to get tired, so he'd hold one up and rest the other one and then switch his arms off. And he said he kept thinking, he's Jehovah Shammah. He's present with me. He is a present help in the time of trouble. He's my refuge and my strength. And he kept walking with his hands in the air, and all of a sudden, something hit his hand. And he realized it was that telephone wire. And then he knew he was safe. He could follow that wire down. And Brother Adam said, if you're here today and you're in trouble and you need a refuge, just put your hands in the air and keep walking until something hits them, until something touches you, and you know that it's finished, it's over, that you're in the refuge. Out in the midst of this fog and in the midst of this darkness, lost. But he had a refuge. It wasn't a physical refuge. He said normally he would have went and found some physical refuge, a cave or up under a cliff or something. But his wife and baby were up there and he was afraid they'd freeze to death if he didn't get to them. So he kept going. Out in the middle of nowhere, he had a refuge. It was within him. It was Christ Jesus present with him. How do you know he's with you, brother? Because he lives in me. How do you know he lives in you? Because he changed me. Something happened to me. It wasn't something physical. It wasn't something emotional. It was something that was eternal. Something that absolutely made a difference in my life. Hallelujah. He is my refuge. Hallelujah. Very present, always present to help in the time of trouble. If you got something going on in your life, I don't care what it is, raise your hands and begin to pray. And I'll tell you something, God is going to be there for the situation that you're in to be your present help. He's your refuge. Hallelujah. I've told you this testimony before, but I'll tell you again. There was a time my wife was working over in human services in Nashville, and she had a woman that she was working for, was a very hard person, hard to get along with, was hard on her, hard on everybody around her. She was just a very difficult person, made working very miserable. And so I just said, let's just go to prayer and put this in God's hand. You don't have to do anything. We're just going to pray and put it in God's hands and let him take care of it. And after some time had passed, I can't remember how much time, if it was a year or whatever it was, but after some time had passed, someone who had left that office, had been in charge in that office before, had left, and the state got him to head up their new medical program. And he reached out and wanted Mina to come and work for him. So she got a new job offer, still working for the state, but just working in a different agency. And so she took, you know, we prayed about it, and she took the job offer. And, you know, it was a little scary. Anytime you're leaving one place where you kind of feel like, well, I got some security, and then you're going out to something else. But look, the whole thing was, it's not your job that's a security. It's Jesus Christ that is the security. It's not what you can do that is your security. It's what he's already done that is your security. And so she got this new job, and she got promoted in that job and got a new position and all that. And then sometime later on, that woman that she had been working for down at Human Services, she got fired by the state. Guess what she done? She come up there and applied where Mina was working to come up there and work for her. Of course, they didn't take her. She wasn't a good person to work with. She wasn't a good person to work for, and she wouldn't be a good person to work for you. And but you see how what I'm saying is how the tables got turned. You don't got to fight your battles. He'll fight your battles for you. He'll turn the tables. Hallelujah. He turned the tables one time in the temple. He can turn them again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A very present help. Look in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I'll just read it to you. You can, if you want to write it down, you can look it up later. Nahum 1 and 7 said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." So this is the second time we've come across something where it's talking about him knowing the ones that trust in him. Many times our problem is we're not actually trusting and relying in him. We're trusting on ourselves. And we trust on ourselves for different things. We trust on ourselves in work. We trust on ourselves for our own abilities. And the thing about it is, friends, God don't want you trusting in yourself. He wants you to trust in him. So when you see things going bad and looks like things are going wrong because you're trusting in yourself, that's why they're going wrong. Because he wants you to put on the brakes and say, wait a minute, I got to quit trusting in myself and my abilities. I got to trust in him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I want to go back and read Psalms 27:5. Psalms 27:5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Now here we find this phrase again, in the time of trouble. What we just read in Nahum was in the day of trouble. Now we've talked about he's being a present help in the time of your troubling situations. But friends, there's coming a day of trouble. A day such as never has been before, the book of Daniel says. It says in the book of Daniel, there's coming a time of trouble like's never been seen on the earth before. And it's the great tribulation period. And Brother Branham used this text in Psalms 27:5. He used that as a text when he preached the rapture. And you realize, friends, that when that time of trouble comes, said he'll hide me in his pavilion. What's it talking about? Friends, you're going to be caught away in the rapture when that time of trouble comes. But there's going to be people that face that time of trouble. And as I said, it's going to be more troubling than ever the world has saw before. It's hard to even imagine. As bad as the world has gotten, as bad as all the nations have gotten, it's still hard to imagine how that chain of events is going to turn around and within a short period of time bring hell on earth for 3.5 years. But we're safe. He'll hide us in the secret of his tabernacle. What's the secret of his tabernacle? Brother Branham said, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new body. And the Bible says that we've got a building, a house, not made with hands. A tabernacle. Hallelujah. That's a secret. Hallelujah. Friends, when we receive that body change, Brother Branham talks about the dead in Christ rising, we see in them, and then being changed in a moment, twinkling an eye, and then spending about 30, 40 days here with them before we're raptured up out of here to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be some time of trouble going on during that 30 or 40 days, but you're not going to be feeling it because you're going to be in the secret of his tabernacle. You're going to be in a changed body. Amen. You're going to be already stepped into another dimension, a dimension that cannot be affected by the trouble that's going on in this world at that time. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something, Brother Phil mentioned last Sunday, we've went into spiritually into that bright age. We've already been moving spiritually into another dimension. There's already been a resurrection that's happened on the inside. Brother Adam said, unless you've had that spiritual resurrection before you go down, you'll never have a natural one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the earnest money has already been paid. Hallelujah. The earnest money. You know what that means? That means like if you was buying some property and you went and you put down a deposit on that, and that was saying, this is mine. I'm claiming this. Well, friends, today the price has been paid in full for you. The price has already been paid in full to redeem the world, to redeem the earth, is what I mean, rather. It just hasn't happened yet. It isn't a season yet. Not until the cup of iniquity be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Branham says, he promised to be God in the time of trouble, a present help. He promised to do things to see them through. He's the same Spirit of God that led Israel. He leads the church today, brings us through the wilderness to the promised land. We have a promised land. You believe that? Now, I know in other places, Brother Branham says the Holy Spirit types the promised land, or the promised land is a type of the Holy Spirit. But here he's talking in a different way, and he's saying, we have a promised land. It's in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, and you will come, and I will come again and receive you into myself. I go to prepare a place for you, to where I am, there you may be also. In the time, in the day of trouble, we're going to be in another place. And friends, we're not going to be sitting around up there thinking about what trouble is going on down here. Brother Branham says in one place, said, while we're sitting at that table, after a bit we'll look around and we'll see there are certain people that's not there. We'll see some loved ones that's missing. And he said heaven couldn't be heaven if we were sad. He said, so he'll come around and wipe that from our memory. Now, I want you to catch the full brunt of what he's saying. So therefore, on the day of judgment, if you've got loved ones standing on the other side of that bar of judgment, you're not going to be looking at them as your loved one or relative, because that is going to be wiped from your mind. You won't be looking down there and saying, there's my brother, there's my sister, there's my son, there's my daughter. There's not going to be anybody standing up and pecking Jesus on the shoulder and say, hold up a minute, that's my son down there, can you please excuse them? Nope. The only thing Brother Branham says concerning things like that is where he says those that have been good to the bride will receive eternal life at that time. Then a member of the bride will stand up and say, Father, while I was on earth, they were good to me. I ain't talking about just doing a favor for you or something. I mean something that benefited you as the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Listen to what David's talking about. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. See, talking about that day of trouble, that tribulation period time. As I've studied on these things, I've thought, Jerry, you're going to have to go over to the book of Daniel sometime and preach a message out of there and show those 70 weeks of Daniel. Amen. We've never preached on that here. Hallelujah. We've referred to it over the years, expecting to be preaching to people that just know what we're talking about. And but he says here, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with great swelling, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Hallelujah. You know, I thought come to me just now about Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And they sent word to Jesus and said, our brother's sick unto death, please come. And he turned to go on his way. He didn't come. And in the meantime, their brother died. 4 days passed, and Jesus showed up. And Martha said, would that you'd have been here before. If you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatsoever ye ask shall be given. Hallelujah. He says, roll the stone away. Oh, logic kicked in. Oh, Lord, by now he stinketh. Reasoning, human reasoning kicked in. That's what happens to us a lot of times. Human reasoning kicks in. And the devil's right there. He's like he's making a kickoff on it. You know, he's right there. Yep, you're right. Looks pretty bad to me. Looks like you're a failure. Looks like you ain't made it. Look at this mistake you done. Looks like you ain't got it. Friends, we all make mistakes. David made mistakes. But he was still a man after God's own heart. He made his mistakes over in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, when he's mentioned, it says David, a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A refuge. Hallelujah. Lazarus might have died, but he had a refuge. Hallelujah. The resurrection and life was there. The resurrector was there. He might have come 4 days late, but he came early. Hallelujah. He came right on time, according to God's time, because God wanted Lazarus to pass away so that he could display that he was a resurrector, that he was the life. Hallelujah. Lazarus come forth. Up out of there he came. Bandages and all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By the time he got to the top and up there, he wasn't stinking anymore. Hallelujah. That old smell of decay was gone. Hallelujah. There's been those that have went by the way of the grave. And friends, many of them's been laying in the ground for years. They've decayed. But there won't be any stench of decay when they resurrect. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're resurrecting in a new body. Brother Branham says, he said, you just think. Your glorified body's right here at the tabernacle now, the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is your glorified condition. You're glorified in Christ now. Those who he justified, he glorified. And your own glorified body is standing right near you now in Christ Jesus to give you strength like a charge going into a battery. The Holy Spirit's in you. Is to charge your body and give you new strength. Hallelujah. I was thinking about Stephen. Many times, you know, people of the world, they don't understand God's love. They don't understand it. If God loved Stephen, why did he let Stephen be stoned? Friends, listen. Stephen's whole purpose for being here on earth was fulfilled just before they stoned him. His whole purpose was to indict that generation. He wasn't even a preacher. But he started to exhort to them and began to take them from the beginning all the way down to the current time. He took them from all the way from Moses down through David, all the way through the birth of Christ. And then he indicted that generation for crucifying the Son of God. And Brother Branham said, then he looked up, was it going to stone him? And he said, I see heavens open, and I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And Brother Branham said, before the first stone hit his head, he was gone. He never felt one stone. You talking about having a refuge. This body wasn't a refuge. There was no natural refuge for this body here on earth. But he stepped into a new body that had a refuge in a secret tabernacle. Step right into the presence of God. They stoned an empty shell. Hallelujah. It wasn't the stones that killed him. God took him. That's according to the prophet. It's according to the word. I see heavens open. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You know, we're led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that leads. It's the Holy Spirit that is our guide. There's times in this life where we get to feeling a little off course. There's times when we get to feeling like we're kind of a little bit lost. What should I do? I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? I've been there many times where I was like, well, I don't know what to do now. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Hallelujah. We're in a refuge. But see, Satan wants to make you feel like that you're not in a refuge. So he works on your feelings. He works on your emotions. Next thing you know, you got stomach cramps because you're upset and stressed. Next thing you know, something else is wrong in your body because of stress. Let the stress go. He is your refuge. Your money's not your refuge. Your job's not your refuge. Your house is not your refuge. Your car is not your refuge. This church building is not your refuge. Your refuge is in Christ. There's going to be some that will run for this building when the great stones of hell start falling out of the sky. But this ain't going to be no refuge for them. There won't be no refuge left on earth during that day of trouble. They won't be able to find a refuge anywhere. The refuge will be gone. And all those that's in the refuge gone will be gone with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a quote. And you know, when I took writing classes in college, they said sometimes you might have a sentence or a paragraph or something that's better than sliced bread. But if it don't fit, throw it out and don't use it. Well, I've had a quote that's been on my notes that don't seem to be fitting anywhere. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Because it's about the Holy Spirit being our guide. Brother Branham said, a little knowing when I had a place, I loved the boys. I wanted to put them, have still making tapes as far as I know. But what a greater thing God has did for them than to make tapes. Most anybody can make a tape that's got the intelligence to turn on a tape recorder or can sell. But it takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide a little group together like this morning and keep them together in harmony and unity and still clinging to the message. A tape is not your refuge. Hallelujah. A message book. You say, that's my refuge. No, it's not your refuge. Your Bible is not your refuge. Because the word is supposed to be written in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a book that's your refuge. It's the life that wrote the book that is your refuge. holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit and wrote. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning. I don't know how I got through this quick. I had a lot of pages and I went through all of them. I guess I was just talking real fast this morning. I was talking like a northerner. I hope you kept up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to tell you I'm going to be leaving for vacation tomorrow. I'll be gone a whole week, and Brother Phil will be here ministering to you next Sunday, and I'll be in prayer for y'all. You pray for us as we're going to be gone, and I look forward to this time of vacation every year and get to spend some time with the family in that, and I know it leaves the church a little short-handed, but I can't help it. And when a pretty good portion of the church is related to me in one way or another. But amen, praise the Lord, you'll have a wonderful time, I know, and you've got a wonderful man that'll be ministering to you next Sunday. Amen. He ministered a wonderful message last Sunday, didn't he? That was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful. You know, when I first came here, I didn't have anybody. And I had nobody to preach. And if I was going to go somewhere, I'd have to try to get somebody to come in. And I remember when I first came here, there was a time when I actually shut the church down on a Thanksgiving because I was going up north. My family hadn't moved down here with me yet. And I had to shut the church down for a weekend. And they had meetings going on down at Brother Billy's back then. And I said, you know, y'all can go there or wherever you want to go for that weekend. But then God began to speak to me as he was dealing on Brother Phil's heart. And God led me to speak to Brother Phil. And I told him, I said, your problem is you're running from something. And he was running from the call that was on his life. And I said, your problem will be over on that front when you stop running. And I told him, I said, now, if he's called you to preach, well, then nobody's going to have to tell you how to preach. You'll just preach. And, you know, I've been glad to have him here with me over the years. I was glad to have him here even before he started preaching. But I was really glad when he started preaching. Hallelujah. More ways than one. He's been a blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for your word. We know, Lord, that you are our refuge. Lord, we're looking to that time that's coming, that day of trouble that's coming, Lord, unlike any other. Lord, knowing that we're already in the refuge that's in Christ, and so there's a refuge for us to go to, Lord, during that day of trouble. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless your people today. Bless them, dear God, in their fellowships and in their dinners and so forth, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that were not able to be here this morning, dear God. You know their condition. You know where they are. I pray for their strength, dear Lord. I pray you'll encourage them, dear God. I pray if they need healing, you'll touch them, Lord. I pray, dear God, that when they listen to, Lord, this service, Lord, after it's posted online, may the same spirit that was here present with us while it was being preached would be present with them when they listen to it. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.